You're listening to the Tilehurst End Podcast by Reading fans for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to a very unique and hopefully, in that sense, one-off Reading FC Tilehurst End Podcast with your host Mark Mayo, who is joined this week by Alan West. Westy, how is it going, mate? I thought it was very sort of clear statement, I suppose, very matter-of-fact statement. When I text you on, I think it's Friday, saying, are you free on Monday for a show? And you text me back saying, there's no game, mate. Which I was like, yep, that's absolutely correct.
Yeah, I wasn't aware if you knew, that was all. I was just a bit, we're going to do a podcast about nothing. But as it turns out, we are going to do a podcast about nothing to a certain extent.
Yeah, well, I thought really it was just important for us to have a sort of spring hibernation podcast and just to sort of say, obviously, what's going on from a Reading perspective and how it might affect the team, just in case. I'm not going to start going over the whole sort of situation globally, as we all kind of know that and probably are sick of hearing it. And also, I am very interested to hear from the people who listen to this podcast and the people who read the website, what sort of content you want out of us over the coming weeks and months, whether you're interested at all in anything Reading FC based, and whether, you know, what sort of form you want that content to take. Because obviously the podcast, unless we have a reason to do one or we think of a reason to do one, will effectively go on hiatus. And the website as well, we'll find whatever we can do to write about. But I must say personally, I don't really want to just fill it with history-based things. I quite like it to be a bit more unique, perhaps a bit more off the wall. So if anyone, please get on the Rattler, on the tilehurstend@gmail.com and on Facebook and Twitter, and let us know what you can think of for us to do. We'll certainly be thinking about what to do. And for now, Westy, let's just have a little chat really then about what, mainly what the season potentially being cancelled as it stands would mean for Reading. You know, if I was to tell you at the start of the season, Reading would finish 14th, not too far off the playoffs, not too far off the relegation zone either. Generally speaking, I think we'd have been pretty happy with that.
Yeah, generally speaking, if you look back historically the last 4 or 5 years, I think we'd have been very happy with that at the start of the season. It's like anything, though, as you get there, you want more, don't you? It's the same in life, you know. As you get to a certain level, you want more. And I think there's more to come. I've said it before on the times I've been on the show, that I think more to come from Reading. I've been infused as the season's gone on as to what Reading could potentially achieve over the next 2 or 3 seasons. And I don't see that changing at the moment. I know, obviously, season ends, and I say this quite often as well, as a team that starts the season is not necessarily the team that finishes. And it'd be interesting to see what they do in the summer, if there is one, or we end up playing the rest of the season in the summer. None of us know right at this moment. But I think just from getting away from the virus and talking about Reading, I think really, based on what we've seen this year, a little bit hit and miss here and there, change of manager again. But from what we've got at our disposal at the moment, I'm quietly happy as we stand. Especially with the young players coming through as well. I think we've seen a sort of revival of a few players coming into the side this year. I think you could say maybe Rinomoto has had a slight step back, but I think Pele's had a lot to do with that. I think he'd have played a lot more games if it wasn't for him sort of coming into form over the last 2 or 3 months. But yeah, there's plenty to be infused about. The youth players look good when they've come into the side, and I think players like McIntyre could end up being sort of captain in 3 or 4 years because he looks like he's already ready for Championship football. Same as Elise. Anyone's been disappointed, I think, from that perspective, has been Loader again. He's not really shown us that he is capable of playing a rigorous Championship season. Don't know what your thoughts are.
Well, it's interesting with Loader because the situation we now find ourselves in with June 30th, I believe, is when loans / contracts expire. Reading can get through to the end of the season without the loan players we have. There's no doubt about that. But in terms of the more practical sense of the contracts, Danny Loader being out of contract at the end of the season, you have to say, if he's going to make big demands or whatever because of the sort of profile and stature that he's built out for himself, there's no reason for Reading to really pull the moon around sort of thing to get him on that new contract, because Loader this season just hasn't really done. I still don't know what sort of striker he is, really.
No, and again, when he has played in general, they've sort of played him wide, haven't they? And not really trusted him up front on his own.
Fit him in where they can.
Yeah, and to be fair, he's not sort of nailed the place down, as he's not even getting on the bench now, whether that's because he's getting towards the end of his contract or just that he's not good enough to be on the bench, which is my argument, he probably isn't. Yeah, so there's nothing to say Reading need to chuck a massive contract at him. If they bother at all, they might let him leave, thinking that they don't see him progressing any further than already has. He may well do, you know what I mean? He's still very young, and he's still scoring goals in the under-23s, but out of all of them, I think this year we'd have to say that he's been the most disappointing.
Yeah, well, if he does leave on a free, Reading would be entitled to some sort of compensation. Don't expect too much out of that, though, and potentially, I'm pretty sure those compensations do include the old sell-on clause, which is probably the thing that Reading are most interested in, should, you know, he go on and make a name like he has the potential to do. In terms of positives, let's talk about a potential player of the season. If the season ended now, then Westy. I'm loath to do it, but I think John Swift for me is the standout name at the moment. He remains a slightly inconsistent player, but I still think, I remember I wrote at the start of the season, he's the most important player for Reading, because when he's on song, when he's moving the ball around freely, when he gets stuck in and is a confident player, he has been, you know, the most instrumental, I think, in Reading winning games.
Yeah, I think it's been the best season he's had, definite. I think probably a lot of that's due to the fact he hasn't had the injury problems he's had throughout other seasons. I know he's missed a few games, but in general, he's played regularly, as regularly as you can anyhow, playing Championship football, but he has played regularly. And I think the introduction of the players around him has certainly helped as well. I think for good players to flourish, in general, they need to have a solid base behind them and, you know, players around them that can sort of help them play their game. And I think he's had that in Ajaria and Pele and Rinomota. I think that has been a benefit to him. But he took more responsibility this year. I've sort of moaned about Swift down the years that he's had the ability, but he hasn't always had the aptitude or the want and the will to sort of introduce himself into the games and to try and dictate them. Whereas this year, he certainly has. I wouldn't say always, but in general, he's been a lot better. And he has, I think he's probably one of the, in Championship wise anyhow, most assists in the Championship. Must be in the top five or six, I'd have thought. Certainly the top in our team, from what I can imagine or what I've seen. So he's been much better. And again, he's still a very young player and there's still much more to come from him. All round, I think he's been very good. I also think the goalkeeper. We've been very lucky. Lucky or unlucky, depends how you want to look at it, that when we had Al Habsi, obviously he used to keep us in a lot of games. And I think Raphael's done very similar this year. He's kept us in games. He's made big saves at important times, just more recently against Barnsley, which could have gone either way if he wouldn't have made them two saves just for half time. So it's a benefit to have a good, strong goalkeeper. We had it last year in Martinez at the back end of the season, and I think that's been a problem area for us in recruiting decent goalkeepers to keep for certain. And if he is our goalkeeper, so for the next two or three seasons, I think you're fairly confident that you've got a good goalkeeper behind a back four, back five that's certainly been improving over the course of the season and evolving as well. I mean, the American's come in now, hasn't he, from the Wilderness, really. He was injured and then we didn't see a lot of him. And Moore, who's obviously been a mainstay, has been sat on the bench. So that's good because that means there's competition for places and you've got players that can come in and take places and stay there. And they know that as well from people that sat on the bench. If I come in and play well, I can play every week. And that's what the manager's done. I think that's a good move because nobody should be certain of their play.
No, it has felt for a while like Liam Moore does. I remember going well back, actually, but I still remember one of my earliest thoughts as a kid is, this might sound a bit harsh to someone who's a bit more involved or a bit more intelligent at the time, but when I was a kid and we were watching the, I think it was like the sort of 03, 04 sort of team, I remember Ricky Newman, the sort of anchor man, utility man, midfielder, I remember remarking, thinking he just has to turn up every week and he gets on the bench because we got no one else. And it kind of felt like that with Liam Moore for a little while, that he was basically just in the team. Yes, he was doing a good job and he wasn't terrible. But since he's been out of the team the last couple of weeks, you do realise that sometimes you take these sort of players that you think you can't live without away. And suddenly, there's options there and things move around. And it just generally draws the level of the team up a notch, doesn't it?
And he scored a couple of goals, hasn't he, Miazga, as well. He's good for a goal. So, between him and Morrison, you've got a goal threat, whereas Moore, I don't think he scored this year. If he has, I certainly can't remember it.
No, well, you mentioned earlier about the assists. John Swift, 10 assists, which is the third best in the Championship at the moment, which is certainly worth mentioning. Raphael as well, I think, is a really decent shout for, you know, the spring player of the season, in effect. You notice the world of difference, don't you, when from Virginia, the Everton youngster we bought in, effectively, I'm sure we didn't pay for him at all, just bought him in, gave him some time, gave him a go. Everton rate him. He's been on their bench under Ancelotti, but he's not ready yet. And the mistakes he was making, you go to then a player like Raphael, who I think has become more confident in terms of his communication over the season. I've noticed a couple times early on when players would give him an earful for not giving the shout. But since then, you just detect a general level of confidence. And if players don't think that, you know, an absolute howl is going to be made, then that translates in their sort of their ability and their focus in itself. And I would actually say my last point on Raphael, you think about the goalkeepers we've had before, Alex McCarthy, Federici and Al Habsi, probably the three best we've seen. All of them had that absolute howler in them. You know, two or three times a year, they would just drop the ball. And it, you know, Federici in particular, we can all remember how that sort of panned out. I don't really feel like that with Raphael. I feel like he does, you know, touch wood, get a really good solid base of just not conceding howlers.
Now, also, making a point there of Raphael, is also what I like about Raphael, and there's been a couple of times in this season where it's happened, where he's come out and he's really give his defenders an earful, Gunter being one of them not so long ago. He doesn't mind coming out and shouting the odds at them. And that to me means you've got a goalkeeper that actually cares. You know what I mean? You've got a goalkeeper there that doesn't like conceding goals. And that's a great basis for any defence, that you've got a goalkeeper there that's not only prepared to shout his defence and get things organised, that he hates letting the ball in the net. And I think you need that. If you want to win titles, you need players like that. You need a good nine of them in that 11. And certainly starting from the goalkeeper is one of the most important positions on the pitch.
Yeah, the one player that we haven't spoken about in this conversation of the like spring player of the season is Ovie Ejaria, who, if you'd have asked us at Christmas, I think he'd have been probably the favourite to win it. But since then, he's just kind of dropped off, really. And whether this is a case that the fact that he doesn't necessarily get many goals and assists kind of catches up with him. You need to, especially to stay in people's minds, you do need to get those sort of big moments in games. Is it that, you know, you can also say that he's not played necessarily so much as he has this season to such a high level, and maybe it's taken its toll. What do you put it, sort of notice out of him this season? Because for me, I've noticed certainly the last few months a bit of a drop off.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a slight drop off, I'd have said. He has been sort of moved out sort of more wide on occasions in more recent matches. Maybe that's had an effect. But I think with him and Elise, actually, funny enough, is they are very similar in the fact that they tend to hold the ball just that little bit too long. From a player that, like you said, hasn't played many games, he's had a full season now under his belt and sort of half a season last year. I think we try and put too much emphasis on the fact that they should know how to play championship football now when they're still young and learning, you know. And I think Elise is like, he's like a season behind Ejaria, but Ejaria still needs another season, because when they get the ball, they do a nice trick and you think, that's great. Now you've beat it two men. Now you need to release it and use your legs, get on the run, get in front of yourself. Whereas they tend to sort of try and beat the third one, then sort of get crowded out and end up losing the ball. Ejaria I've been impressed with. I think if you take the season as a whole, Ejaria impressive. I love watching him, especially when he's on song, because you can't get the ball off him. It's just that little decision making that makes a good player a great player. And I think that's not there just yet. And I think if you look at Elise, you're seeing a player that's another year behind that, where he just tends to keep the ball a little bit too long when really he should be releasing it and getting on the move. I'm sure they'll learn it. I'm sure people are telling them this. And I think you've got two really good players there next year if we manage to keep hold of them, especially Ejaria.
Yeah, the idea with Ejaria was that we do have a sort of permanent sort of purchase clause, which I'd still to this day don't see any reason why we wouldn't take.
I think you have to, well, don't you? I mean, I wouldn't want to see him go somewhere else. You know, I wouldn't want to see him turn up in the championship at another team next year, because I think that as the years go by, he will get better and better. And I think he's a definite for a Premier League player in the making.
Makes him an asset, doesn't it, in terms of just pure business sense?
Business sense, you're stupid to let him go, really, if you've got that option. I think there's 3 million has been quoted about, and in today's market, 3 million is peanuts, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just a case of hopefully him, maybe, you know, the break will do him some good and everything. Just a quick word before I let you go then, Westy, in terms of, you know, football coming back, are you an advocate of potentially cancelling the season now, or were you someone who is, no matter what, let's get the season done and dusted, and then, you know, it's football, we can work it out, sort of thing?
Yeah, you know, I was seriously gutted this week that the game was called off. For selfish reasons, because it's sort of, it gets to the end of the week and you actually look forward to it, don't you? And it was my birthday on Sunday, so I had all my boys were coming down from Plymouth to watch the game, so I bought tickets. I was all excited about coming down, and then to cancel it that late was like, oh, okay, well, we'll try and find something else to do. So I said, oh, I wonder if Reading City are playing, because I don't live too far away from their home ground. And when I looked at that was cancelled as well, so it was a bit of a damp weekend for us, really. But I think you have to finish the season one way or another. In what form? Again, only time will tell. Even if it means behind closed doors, they're going to have to finish the season because of the legal challenges that have come for teams like Leeds and that won't get promoted if that's what happens, if it gets cancelled. You can't stop the season now and say that's it. We just take it as it is because, again, the legal challenges from teams getting relegated who had opportunity to get out of it. So it will have to be finished one way or another. I'm assuming what they'll do is we'll probably end up having 6-8 week break now. And when the summer comes, they will just cancel the Euros and play the remaining games through the summer and then try and catch up with the season. Next season's season may start a little bit later. I think that's all they can do because I know it seems ridiculous to say, but football can't just stop, can it? It's not just a kick about in the park. This is big business. And I think it's a big concern for everybody, really, that a lot of companies now will be shut for 8-12 weeks. And what economically is going to be a disaster because you still got to pay people. There's still things need to be paid for. And I think football's no different. I think that is the concern, really. It shouldn't come down to money, but as we all know, that's the way the world runs. And if they stop the season now or cancel it, I think they'd be in a whole world of trouble. My concern is, probably yours is the same, is the little clubs. How are they going to cope with not playing football for 8, 9, 10 weeks? How are they going to pay their players? How are they going to keep the grounds running? So they're going to have to finish it. It's just, there's no way that it can't finish, I don't think. I don't know what your thoughts are, Mark.
No, I completely agree. At the end of the day, it's not hard to organise a football game, even if you are talking about a team like Man City. It's, you know, we've built the stadiums, they're all there. You just pick a day and we'll turn up when everything's better, sort of thing. And yeah, Euros going back to 2021 sorts itself out pretty easily. We booked a World Cup in Qatar in December 2022, so it's not as if we can say, oh, how dare we play a game in a different sort of time slot to usual, because we've obviously already said that's messed around. And ultimately, for a club like Reading, if you say to us in July, you're going to play 8 games, you're just going to go Saturday, Tuesday, you're going to have 2 weeks off, and then you're going to start the next season. What's wrong with that? Let's do it. And you talked about the legal sort of challenges and everything. Sky and BT have paid, particularly the Premier League, have paid a huge sum of money to show X amount of games. You have to fulfil those amount of games, or you've got to give them their money back. And I'll tell you which one is more likely in any world. So, that's just the situation we're in. As I say, for the Tarlest end, many happy returns, by the way, Westy.
Thank you very much.
You're certainly not the only person who's not been able to go to the Stoke game in those sort of circumstances, because we'll be talking in a few couple of minutes' time to Al Cousins, who is a Reading fan, born in Tarlest, but currently, or for the last couple of decades, living out in the United States in New Jersey. So I spoke to him on the phone because he was going to be coming over to the Stoke game, his first game. He reckons in about 20 years he was going to be coming over, seeing all his family and going around the UK a bit. Obviously cancelled, so a very tricky situation for him. So I caught up with him, which we'll go into in a second. That leaves me, Westy. Thank you very much for popping by.
Yeah, we couldn't do it in the same studio, so obviously, because that's the rules at the moment. So we've kept ourselves apart, mate. So we should be okay for a little while.
Yeah, go and give your phone a good wipe down at the end of this, and hopefully we'll be chatting soon.
Yeah, no, absolutely, that chatting scene. I love it. Absolutely love it. Thank you for your time, more than anything.
No, that's absolutely fine. I've got somewhat more of it at the moment. as we start working from home and all that sort of stuff, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, let's jump in now and go into my chat with Al Cousins, the Reading fan, who sadly wasn't able to be in Berkshire this weekend.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
So Al, thank you very much for popping by onto the Tarlest End. Had you made it over to Reading, it seems like a really interesting chat we could be having in person. But as it is, I'm sat here in the southeast of the UK, and you're sat there in New Jersey for circumstances completely beyond our control. So what are your kind of, as we sit here at the end of the weekend that you hopefully were going to be spending in Reading, how is it sort of sitting there back in the US now?
Yeah, well, that's great to be on. Yeah, obviously, this is not where I planned to be this week. I had a nice week-long trip vacation lined up to visit family back in the UK, and obviously that didn't happen. I left it pretty late to cancel, waited till the last minute on Thursday, actually, and then kind of saw the writing on the wall, and obviously in retrospect, it's probably a good thing I didn't, because it looks like I would have got stuck there. But the disappointment is there. You know, I saw the game obviously was canceled. Still have the tickets sitting here on my desk, which is a real kind of gut punch for me. I was looking forward to that for a long time, but I'm sure we'll get rescheduled, and I'll try and get over there later in the year.
So tell us about how you obviously came to support Reading and being sort of in the US at the moment. So you are a Tilehurst native, aren't you?
I was, yes. I was born in Tilehurst, actually, in the late 60s. Lived there for about 10 years, thereabouts. And used to go to Elm Park with my dad as a kid. Back then, of course, they were Division IV. So we should walk down there, and it was a great Saturday with dad. And so I lived there for about 10 years, and then I moved on to Maidenhead, and then down to Kent. Went to university in Huddersfield. Came over here at the end of college, met my wife, and ended up staying here. So haven't been to see Reading play in probably 20 years or thereabouts. I don't know the exact date I was last there, but I went with my father when he was ailing. We went to the Medeski. So I've only actually been to Medeski one time. I've been to Elm Park, of course, many times, but was really looking forward to getting back there this last Saturday. Obviously, that wasn't to be. Hopefully in the future they'll honor the tickets. I haven't heard from them, but I'm sure they'll do something with them. So we'll try and get back there later. It probably won't be this season. Now, at this point, it will probably be the new season in the fall. Or autumn, I should say.
Yeah. So how was it as the sort of news broke? What was the, you know, obviously it came out that English football was originally going to continue, was it? And then it suddenly, I think there was the Premier League and EFL statement came out about 45 minutes before the Arsenal manager, Mikel Arteta, was sort of confirmed as having coronavirus. Was it, did you feel like when that statement first came out, it was like, yes, all systems go, or were you still a bit sort of, you know, hesitant?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of waiting till the last minute, as I said, to cancel. I really wanted to make sure everything, or kind of see how the writing was on the wall there and see how everything fell. But as soon as the Premiership came out, you knew the writing was on the wall, that things were going to get canceled. And sure enough, that's what happened. And then all the other events that I was scheduled to go to, a couple of modern railway shows and so forth, looks like they were going to get canceled too. So at that point, it really wasn't worth the trip over, especially with the added risk that, although the UK was at that time exempt from President Trump's list there, you knew that was going to change. And at that point, it was really, you know, wasn't a lot of point. It was better off canceling everything, getting the refunds, and planning something for late summer, or as I said, early in the autumn, and try and get over there then and do the whole thing again. That's the plan at this point.
Yeah, in terms of your actual travel and stuff, how easy has it been to sort of arrange the refunds and everything?
You know, it's been great. What's been really hard is actually I'd had a couple of trips, as I said, up to York and to go to the Railway Museum and some stuff with my nephews. And, yeah, I guess since I've left the UK now, of course, the railways are all deregulated. And dealing with each individual train company is a lot harder than it would have been just to call British Rail and cancel everything. You know, back then, of course, you could just show up and get on a train, and now you have to book specific trains and tickets. And I was surprised because I haven't done that before from the States. And I was surprised how complicated that is for somebody who hasn't lived there in a good while. But I tell you, the technology, just changing tack for a second there, the technology this season, the last couple of seasons, I've really been grateful for the iFollow app. That has really changed the game for us folks living outside of the country, being able to watch every game. Or Washington's area, most games, there's a few that are blacked out, but most games you can watch from overseas, which is fantastic. And in the last couple of years now, they've added the BBC Radio Berkshire commentary, which has just made all the difference in the world. It's fantastic, so worth every penny.
Yeah, I was going to ask about how it must be as a fan abroad, and you know, Reading doesn't have too many fans abroad. Certainly, most of them are expats. And as a, you know, what sort of go-tos do you have to keep on top of the club? How sort of invested do you find yourself as the season goes on and everything?
Yeah, there's I mean, obviously the technology these days is very different. So there's I think social media is obviously big, Facebook and and so forth. So you can follow the club on that. And of course, they have the iFollow app keeps you up to date on that stuff too. There's also a Facebook group for Reading fans in the USA, believe it or not. but it's not particularly active. I don't see a lot of posts from that one, but there are a bunch of Reading fans in the USA. So it's mostly social media these days is how you keep up. And it's a very big difference from, you know, being back in Huddersfield, back in college. And you would just be, you know, buying the Sunday newspaper and scrolling down to the sports section, looking at the table and the scores and getting the update that way. And of course, these days it's instant, which has been great.
Yeah, it must be a completely sort of different emphasis. How, out of interest, how do you sort of, how have you found this season then as a fan and how the team is doing? Have you been, you know, with the cup run that we've sort of been having, I suppose the evening kickoffs have probably been quite convenient for watching out from the East Coast?
The cup run is, sidetrack for a second, the cup run has been hard to watch. You have to subscribe to ESPN Plus over here to get that.
Okay.
Not,
yeah.
You know, they don't show those on iFollow. So I have done that and been able to watch the game. It's disappointing when we lost last week, 2 weeks ago now, I guess. It's been an interesting season. I think I didn't expect a lot more from this season. I think if you ask most people, we would have been happy to finish mid-table. Looks like hopefully that's, you know, where we'll end up, certainly out of the relegation zone, which is pretty much all you can ask for. I kind of looked at this year as almost a rebuilding year for the team, kind of get the players consolidated, used to playing with each other, and build on it for next year. I think as much as I was disappointed a few years ago when we lost to Huddersfield and didn't get promoted to the Premiership, I think we would have been right back down again. It would have been another, you know, you get up there and then you lose most of your games, and next season you're right back down struggling again. I don't think we were ready for that. Not sure about Mark Bowen. I have to say, he seems like he has good weeks and bad weeks, and you never can tell which Mark Bowen's going to show up.
Yeah, well, that obviously the Wigan game is now going to be, yeah, for the foreseeable future, going to be one of our most recent games, and how we can collapse 1 week and then, you know, the next week be back on form and pretty decent, I suppose, is you know, a bit of a theme that we've had to deal with over the last few years. And I suppose in terms of looking back over the last sort of 4 or 5 years, how have you found the club? Because a lot of fans, obviously, particularly in Reading, you know, attendances have generally been falling. We've not really had an inspiring season. So have you found that it is a bit different being abroad when those sort of seasons peter out?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely the fact that you want to get down there, right? You want to get to the stadium. You want to support the team. You can't do that from here. It's and you know, especially with the financial crunch that we've got going on there still, it'd be nice to be able to demonstrate some support, and it's hard for us to do that from abroad. I think the team, the frustration I have for the team is, and go back to your point about, you know, which team shows up on a week to week basis. You know, I forget which game it was a few weeks ago. I should know this. We were losing towards the end, and a couple of defenders, it was a meaningless goal at the end. I forget who the defenders were, just walking back towards the goal.
Oh, that was the Wigan game, wasn't it? The third goal for Wigan.
Who were the two players?
I think it was Liam Moore and maybe Omar Richards.
That drove me nuts.
Hmm.
And I'm looking at that going, look, I know you're down. I know you're going to lose this game. It doesn't make any difference, but come on. You know, you maximum effort for 90 minutes, and that comes from the manager.
Hmm.
And that was frustrating, and you can see that. Especially that's another difference. When you're at the stadium, you can, you know, you can be yelling, screaming, and shouting. And it's hard to do that when you're in your living room and the kids are next door.
Yeah, but it's probably not even that. It's, I don't know what time exactly it would have been, but it probably wouldn't have been a late evening. So people are at 5 o'clock in the afternoon saying, "Why is that man shouting at his TV?" That doesn't quite work so well.
It's not, and that's another somewhat annoying piece about watching from abroad, of course, is that with the time difference, most of the games are on at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. You know, you grew up with a 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Saturday afternoons, you know, football. And now you've got to kind of rearrange your day. And it means your Saturday mornings are gone most weeks, because I try and watch every game. But you get used to it. I usually end up making that my English day. I'll make a bacon sandwich and have a cup of tea and just sit down and watch the game.
Yeah, that sounds actually pretty nice, doesn't it? At 10 a.m. For a nice away game or something that you're not going to make it to otherwise. I suppose the question then really that I have to ask is that have you thought about, is there a time that you've sort of thought is when you're going to be able to rearrange this? Is there a sort of optimism that you have, or quite pessimistic that you'll be able to get over in the next sort of few months or even years?
Yeah, like I said, I don't think it's going to be this season. I think this this thing is going to be around for some months yet. And certainly here we've kind of gone into lockdown mode. The schools are out. Kids are out of school for the next 2 weeks at least. The grocery stores are stripped. Everyone's kind of staying home, keeping themselves to themselves. People are working remotely. I'm blessed that I'm able to do that. I can work from my basement office here. And so we're going to reevaluate in 2 weeks, but what's likely going to happen, I mean, this thing is not going away in 2 weeks. Mm. And, the question is what happens then. So certainly from a planning long-term travel perspective, I'm not pulling the trigger on any flights just yet. My hope is that, this thing peaks in the next month or so and then starts to subside. And by the end of the summer, I'll be able to, you know, reschedule the trip and get over there and maybe see one of the first games of the new season. Depending on what the EFL does. My fear though, is that they're going to end up having to cancel the season, which I know nobody's really talking about that yet, but I absolutely see that as a possibility just because, as I said, this thing is not going away. The difference in 2 weeks is probably going to be minimal, if not worse, honestly. And so it wouldn't surprise me at all if we had to end up canceling the rest of the season and starting again in the fall and autumn.
Yeah, well, that's something that I'm personally really hoping we don't have to do. It depends with the sort of Euro 2020 and obviously the World Cup in 2022, which is also kind of a bit of a weird time. I think that's in this sort of November, December time. So all sorts of weird sort of fixture things are going to have to happen at some point over the next couple of years and few months. So I must say that when you do finally, hopefully, come over, we would absolutely love to hear from you and hopefully come and find out what game you're going over to and hear from how you find it and everything, because it's been a very interesting perspective having a chat with you. So thank you very much for coming on.
No, hey, you're welcome. Absolute pleasure. I forgot to mention when you were asking me earlier how I keep in touch. Obviously, the Tyler's hand has been huge for me. I think the articles that you post on Facebook are extremely well researched and really enjoy reading those.
Oh, well, thank you very much for that. And thank you very much for chatting to us. Al, then, straight out of New Jersey, sadly, not in Reading this week. And obviously, with no game to go to, I don't really blame you for staying put.
No, you're welcome. Thank you.
You're listening to the Tilehurst End podcast by Reading fans for Reading fans.
Well, thank you very much to Al for popping on and telling us his story. And if you are listening to that and thinking, I know someone who's done, you know, a similar situation, or someone who's been similarly stuck, or if you're a Reading fan abroad and you're finding it a particularly interesting scenario, please do be in touch with the Tilehurst End, because we always like to be sort of by fans for fans. And if you're a fan with an interesting story out there, we would absolutely love to hear that. And just to reiterate earlier, the sort of call out for ideas and everything like that, it's basically our job, obviously, or certainly for Patreon subscribers and ZCDD sponsor us, it's our job in that sense to come up with content. But we are always open for people's ideas. And if you think that's what I want to listen to, if you decide that you don't want to listen to anything Reading based over the, you know, the next few weeks, do let us know and we'll take it all into account and try and guide our ship based on what you want. We're not here to tell you what to listen to. We're here to do you a service, in effect. We certainly wouldn't be here without your listeners. So we always very much appreciate in these sort of times, you know, the sort of mutual relationship that we have. And just to update on a couple of other things, from what I understand, everyone, if you want to get a refund for the Stoke game and everything, from what I understand, The club is doing that without any hesitation. And the Star Hall of Fame event that was meant to be later this month has obviously been postponed. We will keep you abreast as to hopefully that being re-announced. Obviously, you can basically do that sort of thing whenever, hopefully. And really, I suppose this is a sort of goodbye for now, in the sense that the hiatus is going to be beginning. Once again, thank you to everyone who, you know, has continued to listen to the show throughout the season. I certainly don't expect the season to be over now, but for now, the podcast, we won't be having a show unless we have a good reason to do one. So thank you again to the Patreon subscribers who were instrumental in helping me be able to afford Cool America for our cousins, and also for ZCZ Films, our sponsors, who we will certainly try and honour sort of our agreement with everything there, and make sure that we have enough content going out over the next few weeks and months. And Reading FC will hopefully be returning, you know, this sort of thing, hopefully when it blows over and everything, we can get back to some sort of normality. And who knows, maybe we're in for, you know, a few dreary weeks, and then maybe July, sort of June, July sort of time, we can enter into what might well be classed as an absolute summer bonanza of football, which maybe we'll be very much enjoying when it comes about. Until then, however, we are left with a somewhat solemn but nonetheless enthusiastic come on, you ass.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you ass!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.